Welcome, and thank you for listening to Grace Heritage Church Audio, Building a Household of Faith on a Foundation of Grace. Visit us online at graceheritage.org. Please stay tuned after the message for more information.
Now, I'm curious, how many of you were here when Brian and Kristen were here? Or Colin, Kara, the Reeves family and the Smith family? That's about it. So, as you guys came to this church, you drove a lot of people away, didn't you? You should be concerned about that.
Look how many we've driven away.
Yeah. I try to avoid the obvious. So let's pray together and ask for God's help as we're leading, and then we'll just do a little bit of, and they still have a little bit of technical stuff to work out. We'll do that as we go along. It's not a big deal. But let's pray, okay? Father, we're so grateful for your goodness. Thank you for gathering the people on the Lord's Day, and thank you for the blessings of the Lord's Day that we have been called to set aside and to find a delight in gathering together and singing, praying, around your word preached, and also to think about ministry which you call us and the need that exists in our world. And we pray that you'll sharpen our understanding and strengthen our hearts and engage us by these things today to talk about them. And we ask for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Sorry,
I
slipped my mind.
That's not good. So do you need to check anything as far as your stuff? Are you good to go?
Let's see. Let's just see.
If we have any audio, that should be in channel 3.
Let's see if this pulls up here. Well, while we're waiting, I know, Paul, if you wanted to ask some questions.
When were you guys here in Auburn?
So, Kristen and I moved over here. We got married in 2002, and we moved to Prattville, and we were driving from Prattville up to here and starting in 2004. We moved over here in 2004, and then we were driving from Prattville for a while. So
you drove here just for the church?
Yes, that's correct. That's correct. And then we started. So here's the funny thing, guys, is that we started driving here, and we were not even believers. We thought we were at the time, but we realized we weren't. And so we actually were baptized at Farmville Baptist Church over there off North College Street. Paul did that for us. And so we moved up here. I started at school. Any engineering students in here? If you're not mechanical, you need to go repent. So, but I graduated from here in 07 with my mechanical engineering degree. So, and currently, I'm a Southern Baptist Theological Seminary student.
What did you do after you got out of school?
I went to work for Southern Nuclear over at Plant Vogtle in Augusta, Georgia, which is where we're from, where I'm from. My dad actually helped build that plant. And so now I currently work for Georgia Power and hold my professional engineering license in electrical engineering and power. So can you believe that? I'm mechanical, and now I got my license in electrical. So I crossed to the dark side.
When do you want to introduce
your children and Kristen? Oh, yeah.
Y'all
want to
come stand up here with us for a second?
So when we were here, by the way, we had a child while we were in school here. Everybody's like, I can't believe you would do that. But it's not as hard as what you think it is. And so we had Madeline here. She's almost 12. She was born September 22nd here in Opelika. Just before they renovated the hospital. And then Gavin, he is my soon-to-be, how old?
11.
I say soon-to-be. And then Landon. And then we have Mr. Haddon over here. Can you say, hey, Haddon? He is we named him after Charles Haddon Spurgeon. And then my wife, Kristen. So we've been married now, 13 years. So, sorry, I forgot how to do math. I mean,
it's a lot of pressure to stand in front of. Okay, thank you guys. I appreciate y'all coming and being put on display.
That's
really good. Sit down.
Go ahead. Yeah. Go ahead. Haddon likes to entertain, so we'll try to keep him tame. That's fine. He gets it after me.
So you guys have been, have y'all been primarily in one church in that area now since you went back?
Yes. Can I say a few words of encouragement, by the way, real quick? Like, this church, we used to meet in a old Best Western Conference hotel room, and right over here at North College, I mean at East University and
South College. Yeah.
And like the air didn't work
sometimes, like 6 weeks, 8 weeks in a row. I remember that in the middle of the summer. I don't know if you guys remember that, but it was a great, great time in our life. Very, it's where we became believers, so it has a significant impact on our lives. But the men and the vision that God gave Stan and Paul and I even say Tom Shumpert and some others, just their desire to follow the gospel. Like, it has impacted so many people. We were talking with Josh and Jennifer Dean yesterday, who were members here years ago. Some of you probably know them. We just, the impact that it's had on us, and even though it was a small church, it was great. The mentorship and discipleship we got from
the people here. I never had seen a family being led biblically. I didn't know what that was like. And so I think one of the first homes we went to were the Reeves, and we just did life with them. With the Sanders, we did life with them, and some of you know them. And so it was just a great example for us. And so no matter where you meet, no matter what building you're in, the church is not that. It's the people of the church. And that's what stirred up a passion for us here and why we're doing what we want to do, is because the impact that these people here at Grace Heritage had on us, and the desire, and you know, just mentoring and discipling us, it was really good. It was really good. So you guys were our family away from where we lived, so, or where we were from.
We're thankful for that opportunity.
Yeah. So just be encouraged in that. Like, my hope would be 10 years from now, 11 years from now, like we are now, you can look back and see, like, we started singing and like, Love That Will Not Let Me Go. We sang that, you know, 11, 12 years ago. And it just gives me chills coming back home, you know, to where God used people to change us and call them to himself.
So that is an encouragement. If you're here, just here doing the regular life thing and not moving on, which is what you all need to do, then, you know, keep investing in students and folks who are coming and going. That's been a good opportunity for us.
Yes.
So, How did you get exposed to the ministry that you're involved with now? And what would it be best just to turn you loose and let you start showing us?
No, that's fine. That's fine. We'll go through questions and ones that we got in the presentation. We'll go through that.
Okay.
So what got us started here is that we saw, well, we had some, we're serving with Reaching and Teaching International Ministries, by the way. It was founded by Dr. David Sills. If those that know him, he wrote a book called The Missionary Call and several others. He's a very well-known missiologist that was at Southern Seminary. And he was our president, but he's no longer our president now. But anyway, what got us to this point is I have a dear friend of mine that was our youth pastor. And he was my best friend, and his wife was Kristen's best friend. And then their daughter was Maddie's age, and then their son was born two or three weeks later than Landon. And so we really connected well and started hanging out with them. And we had a great time with them, and he had a vision for planting a church in Northern Virginia area. And before he had told us that, we had told him that maybe, you know, if you go to plant a church, we would love to come and be a part of it. And lo and behold, he goes and plants a church, and he invited us to be a part of it. And so we were praying about it, and we just realized that, like, that was a vision that we had that, like, we wanted to do. But also, Kristen just didn't feel 100% about it. And so we just said, no, we can't do this. We'll support you, but we can't do this right now, just because we weren't in agreement. But the Lord really started working in us in that time over that year that we were really evaluating, are we going to go plant with them or not? And he just opened our eyes to some ministries and some needs that were out there. And we learned what our vision was. I say what our vision was, what God had imparted on us. And it was about mentorship and discipleship. And that goes back again to what we learned here. And so I really enjoy teaching. I love teaching informally and just having one-on-one time. I know Dr. Gu used to take us into his office and teach us hermeneutics. And it was just, I was like, Herma, what? I had never heard of that before. But, you know, there's that need for that. And so we have a passion for that, both Kristen and I do, and we really love the Latin culture. I work with a bunch of Puerto Ricans, and though we're going to be going to Ecuador, I just really, really love being a part of the Latin culture. I mean, it's just a passion of mine, and Kristen's as well. And so, anyway, through all of that, we started reading. Our associate pastor gave us a book called The Missionary Call, and so we started reading it. And at the end of it, it talked about reaching and teaching international ministries. And this ministry was founded out of a heartfelt need for teaching and equipping the local leaders there, wherever they were, whether it be in Ecuador or Jordan or Brazil. Started primarily in Ecuador, where Dr. Sills was an IMB missionary. But so we started looking into that. We realized our vision was to teach and mentor and disciple. And so we were trying to figure out a ministry that had that same vision. And so we came across reaching and teaching. And they required seminary. And I was not in seminary at the time. And I thought, wow, it's going to take me 3-4 years maybe to get my seminary underneath my belt just to get a master's in theology, theological studies. And anyway, so lo and behold, the Lord brought in the guy that replaced our youth pastor that left to go plant the church. He was a graduate of Southern Seminary, and his wife said, hey, I know Dr. Sills personally. I'll give you his number, and you can call him and talk to him about it. And so we started talking, and he said, hey, look, you don't have to graduate with your seminary degree yet to be able to teach with us. And so he's like, God's providence brought us together, so let's start, you know, doing what we got to do, applying and all of that. But their vision, again, matched up with ours of just that there's a great need for discipleship. And one thing that this is my personal opinion here, but one thing I think that we've done in missions for a long time is we've gone to focus on planting churches. But we plant a church and then let's go somewhere else after a little while and go plant another church and go plant another church. But these brothers are left behind that are believers, but yet they're lacking what it means to be a Christian. Like, they know I love Jesus, but they also know that, like in Ecuador in particular, they go and they, like, I'm going to pray to Jesus for my salvation, but I'm going to go over here and talk to the medicine man so I can get healed. You know, so there's a disconnect. Some of these guys, and I'm going a little bit ahead, but some of these guys, even that are leading churches, that are pastoring 5 churches now, some of them 5, they ask the question, when did Jesus become a believer? Like, so when we talk about theological needs, we're not talking about, like, going to Midwestern or Southeastern or Southwestern or Southern. You know, we're not talking about that. We're talking about the basics of understanding who Christ is and how do we teach that to others. Because, you know, Paul, what he says in 2 Timothy 2:2, those things that I've instructed to you, go and teach that to other faithful men so that they too can go and entrust that to others. And so that's what reaching and teaching is about. And so we just got connected with them and just really felt that desire to serve. And through various avenues, the Lord really opened our eyes to this and really closed every other door that was there and got us right to reaching and teaching. So I'll segue into it if you're all right with that. So one thing you'll see here on this slide, guys, when we talk about pastoral needs and theological training, and most of us would say we don't have theological training here, right? But that's not exactly true, because we sit under faithful preaching every Sunday. We have, like, sometimes growing up in Awana, we get in Sunday school, and so we have theological training. But a lot of these guys don't. And I never answered your question. I just realized that I never answered the same church, the church that we're at now. So, but I'll get back to that. And by the way, we're at a First Baptist Church in Waynesboro, just south of Augusta, not far from Plant Vogel. So, and we've been there now 10 years, probably. So, faithful church. But you can see that 85% of the world's churches their leaders have no theological training. And these numbers are staggering to me. There's a trained Christian worker every 235 in the U.S., and look how many it is outside the U.S., 450,000, one for every 450,000. So there's a great need for that mentorship and discipleship. So who's reaching and teaching? Talk about that a little bit. They were founded in 2009 by Dr. Sills. They subscribe to the Baptist Faith and Message. That's the other thing that's really hard to find is when you go, and I would encourage you, if you guys are looking into missions, if any of you are really wanting to do that, consider your organization and just like your wife or husband. This is who you're married to. Right, you're going to be so interconnected with them that you need to find somebody that has like-minded beliefs, and you guys need to—I mean, you need to be step by step with them in agreement with what they believe. Because we visited other organizations and chatted with them, and we learned that there's theological differences in some areas and just things we couldn't overlook. But I just want to mention that to you. We have missionaries serve all around the world, and the biblical model of how to reach and teach the nations. And we'll talk about that a little bit more, what that looks like in a moment. So our vision here, to reach and teach local indigenous people. We eventually want to work ourselves out of a job, right? We want to equip and train these local people who are who understand the culture more than what we do. We could stay there all our lives and we would never completely understand the culture in Ecuador. And yet, these guys, we can teach and equip them, and they're from there, and they can go take what we're teaching them and apply it in their culture. So much more better than what we can. And so, that's one of the main things. And here's 2 Timothy 2:2, what I talked about earlier. So, I'm going to play you a short, I'll play a video in a minute. Why we chose reaching and teaching, just again, the biblical ministry. One of the things we get to do is we get to minister as a family, which is great. These Ecuadorian people, by the way, a lot of them, like, we tower over them, at least most of us in this room. So they are vertically challenged in a way. So I noticed I looked at Paul when I said that. But they, when you go to the market, you can see all the Westerners and everything. But anyways, we get to minister as a family, which we really thought was important for us. We get to utilize the gifts that God has given my wife, the gifts that God has given my children. Even though my children are not saved, the Lord has blessed them with things that they can use for the ministry. And so we're looking forward to that. Again, we get to minister. What do you guys think the top three reasons missionaries come home? So
that's hard.
It's hard. Okay, that's true. So that's a great guess. The things that make it hard, though, I got
disunity
in
their team.
There you go, disunity in the team. So there's. I'll give you the top three reasons. They go in various orders year by year, but you have disorder in your team. You fight amongst your team. We all know we fight amongst our brothers and sisters anyway at times. Finances, and then loneliness. And so when Dr. Sills put this ministry together, he just really was like, how can we close those gaps? And so one of the ways is we really get to know our team before we go there. We get to meet with their children via Skype. Technology is great, so we love that. But we do this together as a team, and not just as a family, but we get to do it as teams. And that was just one of the positives for us. Like-minded beliefs and the needs are great. We talked about the needs earlier. By the way, when the IMB was pulling out missionaries because of the struggles with finances a few years ago, the majority of them came out of South America. And so there was just a lot of people that were left without anybody to help teach and equip them. So no fault to the IMB. Please don't hear me say that. So where we're going to be at is, you guys can see there where Ecuador's at, right on the equator. So one of the great things, I say one of the great things, I was grateful because we visited one place and we were way down in the valley where it was super hot and humid and like here. And I've been in this weather all my life, and I just thought, like, Lord, you're really going to have to work in my heart to serve here. And the place we're actually going to be living is Cuenca, and it's about 50 degrees in the morning and 70 degrees in the afternoon all year long. So, yeah, I'm hearing some wows, and that would be great, right? So I really am excited about that. But we're going to be at about 8,400 feet is where we're going to be at. So, and then some places we'll go will be 12,000 feet, you know. So it's down in the Andes Mountains. But my wife was going to talk about the team members here, but this is the emphasis on the team. So Dr. Sill's son is the guy on the top right, and that's Christopher. He's our team lead. And we've got Matt Kuntz on the left and Jimmy Winfrey and his family on the bottom. And so we come together and we work in different focus areas. Like Chris focuses on the Highland Kichwa people, and then Matt focuses on revitalizing churches and church planting. And then Jimmy focuses on college ministry there in the town of Cuenca, where we're going to be. But one of the reasons why this was strategic for us here to go with this area where we're going to serve at is the family members. We're going to have 17 kids amongst all of us there, so that's going to be a really good environment for our children. And then they're experienced. We're inexperienced in missions. We've done short-term, but we haven't done long-term before. And so, anyway, Chris has been doing it 6 years. He grew up as a missionary kid with his dad serving as IMB, and he's Matt on the top left's been there 3, and the other guy's been there 2. And so we're going to come in as an apprentice, and they're going to teach us how to do missions in Ecuador, because you can't take what you do here in Auburn, Alabama, and apply that down there in Ecuador. And you sure, like when my friend that went to D.C., you can't take what we do here and take it to D.C. It's totally different, you know? So, but I'll be serving under them, and Kristen will be serving as well, and we'll just, we're going to try to learn missions again and then try to find an area of focus, and we think we've identified one already, but with shepherding children and raising them biblically, even though sometimes I wonder if I'm a success at that or not. So, but we see that as a big need, and so that's one of the areas that we're thinking about focusing in. So here's how this looks and how we're going to serve. Because we talked about the vision. So where we're going to be living at, there's strategic locations around the country. We got 4 different sites. And so we're going to have formal training for these guys where they come in a week at a time. So they'll come in for 3 weeks a year for 3 years. So we're going to teach them 9 different modules. So this is already curriculum that has been developed. And then we'll be teaching those one module per week for over 3 years. We have guys that are coming, and this was a bit of a challenge to me, but we have guys that are coming around, like they walk 2 hours to get to the bus to ride 3 hours to come to this training. And the difficulty that we have sometimes to come to church, even 20 minutes away, you know, so that was a little bit of a shot, you know, that I needed to take. At times. But we're going to be teaching them. They actually can kind of see they'll graduate with a cap and gown. We'll teach them in Spanish. And they will, in turn, take their language and teach that from the tribal area that they come from. So, and we'll show a little bit more in the video about that. But the great thing about this is some of you with this organization and what we have is churches sponsor these locations where these brothers are coming to be taught, and their family. So the wives are coming too, and so Kristen and the other missionary wives are able to teach and do Bible studies with them and equip them in any way that they need, whether it's some of the things as simple as learn and speak English better. Some of it is, what were some different ones? Do you want to talk to that at all? Or no?
Just like a mini women's conference, yeah. Bible studies, mm-hmm. even a BBS, or just even asking beforehand and seeing what their needs are and how we can serve them.
Yeah, because we want to serve them, and so one of the best ways to do that is asking them, what do you guys need? What are your needs? You know, and so we're going to be flexible in how we go about teaching. in the way we do these conferences with them. But I was talking about the partnerships with the churches. The other thing that's great is there's men in this church now that like to teach, right? There's opportunities for you to come and be a part of, like Paul goes to Brazil down there. And there's opportunities for you to come and teach these local people. Granted, we'll translate for you unless you know Spanish. But there's opportunities like that that can happen to where it's not just partners. Like our partners are not just feeding down to us. It's not just an ATM machine or anything like that. It's like our partners are a vital part of this ministry. And we want the local churches here to be plugged into that, to see what God is doing in Ecuador and many other places. So that was really encouraging. But I'll be a part of this teaching, and we have four different sites, so we'll be busy doing that multiple times a year. And then also, the other thing that we're doing is we have a little seminary that's being started in Cuenca, the area that we'll be living. And we'll have informal sessions, we'll have formal sessions, but one of the brothers will teach Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and I'll teach Thursday or whatever day. We'll pick a night a week that we teach. And we have these local people that are signing up for the seminary that want to come and learn and grow, both men and women. Then the other thing, we do small groups. I know small groups is really vital, and especially, I mean, it has been for us, but I think for there it'll be really good. And so we're going to be doing that with our neighbors, hanging out with them, just doing life with them, right? Like, there's no better way to fellowship, at least in my opinion, than breaking bread and talking about Christ and talking about the gospel and getting to know people. So let's see what else here. And then I mentioned church planting. So we don't, it's not just teaching all the time in seminary style. Like, we're evangelizing. We are reaching people. We are revitalizing those churches. And then we're going to serve. Once we learn the language well, we're going to serve in the church as well. So if they need that. So, and of course, we're reaching college students like you guys. So most of you in here. These are just some pictures of Cuenca. It's a large city. There's a lot of expats that move down there, but our focus is for the indigenous people there. And so, again, you can just kind of see the beauty of it, show you a few things here, and I'll show you a video. This is a typical church setting down in the bottom left there. You just have a building that has a tin roof and a little bit of elevation between the wall and the roof where the air can flow through, and that's it. So it is unique. We get to use the U.S. dollar down there, so that's good. So we don't have to battle through any currency exchanges. So some typical things here. You go in the market, and you see some great avocado. For those who like avocado, where Maddie's got the bananas, that whole thing of bananas is like $3.50. So we eat a lot of bananas when we went down there. And then here's the guy over here. He's got his salted meat that's all over at the market, and then flies are around. He's got a fly swatter in his other hand. So we were eating ice cream beside one place, and the other place was just, you could smell the fish that had been baking in the sun, you know, with the salt. But they still, we didn't eat that, but some people do. So, and then one of the other things here, there's a few more pictures. Landon's eating a snail. So, and then that looks like a rat, but it's a guinea pig. So they love to eat guinea pig. If you guys have eaten squirrel, it's a lot like squirrel. So, yeah, I can't say it tastes like chicken, but, and you can see the chickens up there at the market, you know.
Does it
so,
taste like chicken?
Huh?
Does it taste like chicken?
No. Mm-mm. It's squirrel or guinea pig?
Chicken.
I have not eaten the guinea pig yet, so we will be getting there. But I wanted to show you that real quick. And let me show a video. If we're stealing from one of our teammates here, if I could make a video, which we will be doing that, but if I could make a video for our ministry vision, this would be it. It's a little 5-minute video that will really help get a visual of what this looks like. And so I want to give you guys an opportunity to ask questions too. I don't know how much time we have left, but
we've got about 13 minutes.
13 minutes, okay. So I'll play this here.
This video is specifically to describe the state of our mission field and the path we're taking to serve. Thank you so much to all of our partners in this work to make this happen. It has been a team effort from the beginning, and it will continue to be. You are a vital part of this ministry, even if you're not here in Ecuador. Here's a picture of our people. Ecuador is a very small, you don't need to drive more than 3 hours to get to a completely different culture and climate. The people here are diverse as well. Research from the Joshua Project tells us that within the borders of Ecuador, there are still 17 people groups with 2% or less evangelical population. We call these groups unreached with the gospel because most of the population has not heard the gospel. And with so few believers, most of the population will be born and live and die without ever having the opportunity to hear the good news, unless they're engaged. Now, 5 of these 17 people groups are unengaged, meaning that there is no Christian work going on. And that number is going up as missionaries leave South America for fields in the 1040 window. That's not to mention the 3 known and uncontacted tribes in the jungles of Ecuador. They have, as of yet, had 0 contact with anybody from the outside world. Now, most of the churches that do exist among these people do not have pastors to lead them or teachers to teach them. And if it remains this way, then the next generation will not know the things of God. And those reached groups here will become unreached. And the unreached will remain unengaged. There's a lot of missionary work to be done here. And we cannot do it alone. For this reason, we have the goal of pouring ourselves into Ecuadorian leaders who can lead the churches and advance the gospel of Christ to those who have no access. We are training leaders in a modular format among many different people groups in Ecuador right now. This important work of theological faith and belief is imperative, and we will continue with it. But the limited exposure that these conferences afford is only a preview to these thirsty leaders. Right now, we're preparing the long, slow work of starting a school of ministry in the strategic center of Cuenca. I, along with my solid team of missionary professors, am working to start a seminary here where we'll spend 4 to 5 years with students, not just a week at a time, but week in, week out, with students of all different education levels, not just in classes, but also mentoring them, giving them practical training to raise up pastors for the churches that have none, biblical counselors to serve in the churches, and an army of missionaries to go out to all communities and even whole language groups that have no access to the gospel. With bilingual students, we can train them in Spanish, and they can go out and bring the gospel to all 25 major language groups in Ecuador. In my view, this is the best way to give the gospel to all those groups who have no access. I could personally try to learn all these languages and cultures, but it would take me a lifetime to be able to communicate the way these indigenous missionaries already can. That's why we want to train them to do this vast work. We have local connections in a number of unreached people groups who are ready to choose and send new leaders to train in our school. And there are already a number of students from Cuenca and the surrounding area who are ready to start their training. This is a long project, and there will be hindrances, but the impact could be exponential, and it is well worth the wait. Like I said in the beginning of this video, our work here is a team project, and we cannot do it without our team of ministry partners. Your prayers and financial support are working to bring the gospel and put solid churches in every part of Ecuador. Now, if you have not joined our team of ministry partners, I encourage you to pray about joining this valuable work. We still need at least 10 more families or churches to join the ministry financially by giving around $100 a month to keep it going. Perhaps you cannot give that much right now. Perhaps you can give more. Either way, we're asking you to pray about joining us in this work, if you haven't already. Pray for us as we go forward. We're excited to update you about the Lord and answer your prayers as the months go by. Thank you so much. God bless.
I hope that gives a good visual of what you can see that's going on in Ecuador. There are, I don't know if you heard, but if you can believe it, there's 3 groups in Ecuador that have never had any contact with the outside world. I mean, can you believe that? I mean, that's crazy. And he was mentioning there's five groups that are still considered, really, that are considered unreached. But I don't want to take up too much more time because I wanted to open up for questions if anybody has any. Is that okay? So, does anybody have any questions? I'd be glad to. If I can't answer it, I'll dodge it, you know. So,
Well, what's the, I don't know that much about Ecuador. What's the political attitude toward the U.S. and Americans there?
So it's very friendly, very, very friendly. There, we have no issues getting like religious visas or anything like that. So it's, the rules change like daily almost. But as far as friendliness towards us and allowing us in this ministry, they're all for it. They're very open. Now we have some brothers in some other areas, not in Ecuador, but some of our team members around the world that are getting arrested, you know, for preaching the gospel. But here they're open to it. Yeah, good question.
What's your timetable?
We found some really cheap tickets to fly out in September. So September 24th is our day that we fly out. We have a 3-year commitment, roughly, and then we can re-up after that if we want to. But we're looking long term. I feel like the Lord's just really given us a heart for this, and so we're looking long term. But again, the idea is maybe 10 years from now we could be in Peru, we could be another part of Ecuador, you know, to where we can move to a different location to train and equip others. It's coming quick. It's 80 some days. I can't remember. So I was counting them down. But, man. Go ahead.
What would you say are kind of the dominant competing attitudes? Would it be more like Roman Catholicism or tribal animism or something like that?
So the animism is a big battle. That's one of the things that we would struggle with. And Catholicism, for one, Catholicism came in years ago and just really forced people to either become a Catholic or, you can do the history studies on it, but it was bad news for those that didn't join Catholicism. And but again, they forced them to do that, and then there was no mentorship or guiding in them. So they've blended all of their Indian rituals and things that they do. And like I said earlier, just the one about going to see the medicine man, you know, and things like that. And so that's one of the biggest battles that we have. And also, it's a lot of these guys we'll be teaching is an oral culture. So that's, if we try to sit down with them and do some of the seminary like we do here and studying God's word the way that we do, that'll be just a personal challenge for me. But I think the biggest thing is Catholicism for us. So, any other questions? Yeah.
In addition to the teaching, what kind of resources are you giving people to translate, whether it be translations of scripture or other books?
Yeah, so we have a lot of books that Dr. Sills had written are translated into Spanish, and so in a lot of this Heart, Heads, and Hands is curriculum that we were using. That we use is into their language no matter where we're at around the world. And so there's some that aren't in that language yet, but we've been working with Lifeway to be able to get the stuff published into that local language is one of the things that we do. So, because I think where you're leading into this is, so when we go there and we do all this, what are we leaving behind for them to still use, have resources to use? And so we give them a lot of literature, and that's part of our budget that we have is ministry funding, to where we will supply them with a lot of those things that they need to be successful. So, and then too, when they come back, is we're challenging them to, hey, are you guys going to doing this in other places? Show us who you're mentoring and discipling. Bring back some results from that, because we can teach all that we want. But if you don't see transformation, it's not happening. Like, they're not connecting with it. And it's the same thing with us, right? We can, when we become believers, if we don't see transformation, then we need to really question our salvation and know that we merely might have been looking at Christ just as just as a transaction rather than a transformation. So. Yes, that's a great question. Great point in bringing it up. So we'll all be homeschooling, and a benefit in that. There's many benefits, but one of the main benefits is it allows us to do ministry as a family. So, and reaching and teaching emphasize like your family's first. So we want you to be successful as a husband and as a father, and as your family. Because if you're not, the ministry is going to suffer. You know. So, and that's secondary. Ministry's secondary to making sure that you're leading your family properly. Because we do know a missionary kid that grew up that their father, all he did was work in missions, and he neglected his family, and they have very bad heartache towards their dad because of that. So, gotta be careful on that.
Got a rough dollar figure for what it takes to support a family for a year.
Yeah, it was a bit of a sticker shock. Okay, I'm not gonna lie to you with ministry cost and things like that. But our budget, our 110% goal is like $84,000. The food is cheaper, housing is not much cheaper than here, but we have housing or we have ministry costs built into that. So we're gonna be living off of about $52,000 is what we're living off of. And then our launch fund that we have to have in hand is $68,500. So that covers like emergency airfare. That covers getting your visas, getting your housing set up, shipping your goods in a car. A good used car, 150,000 miles or more, $25,000 to $30,000. So it's pretty crazy. We try to bring in our car, 55% tax rate, and it has to be 3 years or newer. And so we don't have that. Because it sure would be nice to bring our minivan. I never thought I'd be driving a minivan, by the way, but it is great. So I love it. Great question, Paul, to segue into that. One of the things that we're really looking for is we want like-minded people to partner in the vision that they see here. We're encouraged that people love us, but we really want to see like people that want to see the gospel advance in other places around the world, you know, and in this vision. And it really gives an opportunity for you guys and for this church and others to just see what God's doing elsewhere. You know, and how can you serve with the gifts that God's given you? Because He's equipped every one of you in here for His glory. And so maybe this can be a way to help you find that and what that is and how you can use it. You know, how you can exercise that gift for the glory of God. So,
you have cards or something that we got contact information for you?
We do. We have some prayer cards here. I have them in my backpack over there. We have some prayer cards, and we have some like lookbooks that you can check out, reaching and teaching. But I would say, I know we're limited on our time, but if you guys have any questions, feel free to come ask us. And then if you want to investigate more, reachingandteaching.org will provide a lot of information. It's got stuff about the missionaries on there. Our website is just reachingandteaching.org/Stephen's Family.
And in 60 seconds, if some of these guys are going, man, I'd really like to come down there, how long do they need to wait? How much time do they need for you to get settled? When could they come and maybe be of some use or help to you?
So I would say when we get done, and I'm predicting probably 6 months to 9 months, we'll be pretty fluent in language. But there's needs all the time, but for us, I'd say sometime close to the summer of next year would be great. That would be a perfect timing. Everything's settled in, and we've got other teachings that are going on. Like right now, we've got multiple. Our guys are spread out teaching in various areas right now. So, I'd say somewhere close to the summer. But prior to that, I could let you know if something was to change. But there's always a need. Always a need. No matter if you're male, female, young, or old, there's a need to spread the gospel there.
Ron, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
And that's the same, okay? Right. Father, we're grateful for men and women that you've given a heartbeat and a longing to go and invest their lives in other places where it's maybe it's not as comfortable or where they don't know the language or the culture. And so as Brian and Kristen and their family prepare to do this, we pray that you would fill them with your spirit, that you would give them much grace and help, strength and energy. We pray that you would protect their family, that the enemy would not be able to draw lines of division in their marriage or in their home. We pray that you would give them a passion for the gospel applied to their own hearts so that they might be useful tools in your hands. And we pray that you would raise the support that's needed, that the financial needs of all these teams would be met so that the ministry can be done. And I pray that even as probably none of us knew that there were people in Ecuador that not only they've not heard the gospel, they've not had contact with the outside world beyond their own language group and their own people. And so we pray that as our hearts are made aware of the needs that still exist, that you would move us to compassion, and that the way that you have gifted us individually and as a church, that we would be ready to put action to our compassion and help us to understand what that needs to look like, both in the places where we go this week and as we anticipate connecting with people in Ecuador through Brian and Christian and their family. So we ask for your mercy as we enjoy the fellowship of the afternoon and as we gather this evening again to pray and think out loud about how to walk with you. We ask for your mercy in all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Grace Heritage Church meets in Auburn, Alabama. Services are held at 9:30 a.m. on Sunday morning at 1345 Annaloo Drive.